In 1995, when fisherman Sean Docterman bought his trailer in Jackson's, he was at sea practically all year round. But now 52 and the single parent of a four-year-old son, he thought he'd be spending more time at home.
I used to be gone fishing 11 months a year, and since privatization, we've worked a lot less. I'm probably down to 6 months a year, 7 months a year, so it was a good place to go to, at least have, you know, refuge when I was in town and keep my things. And I also own a house overseas, so it was nice to just be able to come and go.
He says he was away fishing in the Bering Sea and got back to Kodiak in March 2015, and there had been rumors of a major seafood processor buying Jackson's.
Then I happened to go to my banker at First National Bank of Alaska, and I was asking him if he knew anything. He says, yeah, it's on the market for like $1.5 million or $1.6, I don't remember the exact amount. And I says, oh man, that's a pretty low figure, you know. I mean, the real property in there of people's trailers worth more than probably $3 million.
He says he and many of the residents thought that Jackson Mobile Home Park was a stable neighborhood and would remain a trailer court. He says in 2001, the city rezoned that property to one that permits mobile home parks.
Because it gotten too big, and it wasn't legal as R1, so they had to change it to R3, and that was done by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And in those documents, it said it would remain a mobile home park. So we were all under the understanding that it would never be sold, and that it would be, you know, a place for lower income people to live.
In the last year since the park's closure was announced, the borough has also modified zoning code in a bid to open up more spaces in other mobile home parks around town and waived fees for moving trailers. However, it's not enough to alleviate the impact of the Jackson's closure. Kodiak is already suffering from lack of land, a shortage in housing, and high rent. Docterman thinks the borough should have fought harder. He says it hasn't done enough.
It's their job to get something done, and I think we've got a good borough. You know, the assembly members are, you know, really conscious of things, but you wonder why this wasn't done correctly.
Docterman says when he leaves his home of 20-plus years, the trailer will remain behind.
I was told that if I give them the title for my trailer and sign it over, that they will take care of demolishing it, or removing it and dismembering it, whatever you want to call it. And that's what I'm going to do. I've already packed out the majority of my personal belongings.
And as he and his son Henry prepare to move out, Docterman says he's more worried for other residents.
It doesn't affect me like it does the majority of the residents there. I believe that the kids are already saying that we're living in there, that they don't have their same friends and they feel affected, you know, at school, from what I've heard. And then when you displace 166 adults and 40 children, I mean, in our community, that's a, you know, sizable amount.
When KMXT last spoke with Docterman, he said he would like to stay through May and ride the wave. He says he'll have his bookkeeper send the rent by May 1st and see how it goes.